Radio Prague News.
Miloš Zeman is returned as president. More Czechs with guns, and in tennis, Korda the son follows the father. Current Czech president Miloš Zeman has become the first head of state to be returned to office in a public vote. Miloš Zeman won around 52% of support against challenger Jiří Drahoš, is 48%. The turnout in the elections given was 66.5%. Challenger Drahoš, a former head of the Czech Academy of Sciences, conceded defeat at just before 4 p.m. local time. He said that although he had not won, he had not lost either. He highlighted the wave of energy that had accompanied his campaign and said he would be staying in public life. Drahoš won in most of the main cities, with the exception of industrial Ostrava. Zeman's support came mostly from smaller towns and in the country. Analysts argue that Zeman's common touch paid off. Zeman, 73, cast himself as the political veteran and experienced pair of hands against newcomer Drahoš. He will have a 5-year term and is likely to be immediately involved in moves to establish a new government following October's elections won by Andrej Babiš's ANO party. Newly re-elected President Zeman highlighted the fact he won more votes this time round, around 2.8 million, than in the previous contest 5 years ago in his victory speech. He got around 2.7 million votes in 2013. Zeman said he hoped he would not disappoint those who supported him, and the election had been comparatively close. He said that over the following years he would continue to head out into the country to talk and listen to citizens and would work just as hard as over the previous 5 years. Czech radio reported that at least one polling station in the České Budějovice region, voters were offered a choice between three candidates instead of two in the head-to-head runoff. Voting papers for Pavel Fischer, who came third in the previous round, were offered in addition to those for current President Zeman and challenger Drahoš. The error was confirmed by the local counting supervisor. The Ministry of Interior said the mistake lasted for around 17 minutes, during which time three votes were cast. A team of Czech Army chemical weapons specialists left Prague for Iraq on Saturday morning. The team of 12 specialists will spend 6 months training Iraqi counterparts in dealing with chemical weapons before their return. A team of Air Force advisers is also at the moment in Iraq helping their counterparts. The Czech Republic's chemical weapons specialists have established a reputation in NATO for their expertise. And the number of Czechs with permits to have firearms increased last year to 303,000, according to the police. That figure is around 2,700 more than in 2016 and 11,000 more than 2 years ago. Police said the rising trend of gun ownership has been caused by fears over migration, terrorist attacks and fears of personal assault. And the son of former Czech tennis star Petr Korda, Sebastian Korda, has won the Australian Open Junior Tournament. The win for the 17-year-old came nearly on the 20th anniversary of his father's sole Grand Slam tournament win at Melbourne. Sebastian Korda, now living in the US, beat Taiwan's Chun Xin Tseng 7-6, 6-4 in a tight match that hinged on a few key points. Finally, a look at the weather. The weather on Sunday will be cloudy with rain expected, mostly in border regions. Top daytime temperatures will range between 5 and 8 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in the program, Miloš Zeman has been re-elected as the president of the Czech Republic. In a moment, we'll be talking to analyst Jiří Pehe about the election, how close it was, and what we can expect over the next 5 years. And that will be followed by a profile of the incumbent who was re-elected this day. Current Czech President Miloš Zeman has confirmed he is the first head of state to be returned to office in a public vote. He won the election this Saturday in the second round, defeating his challenger Jiří Drahoš, the former head of the Academy of Sciences. We'll be talking now to Jiří Pehe, political analyst, and I asked him first about some of the factors that had decided the election and how close it had been.
Well, I think it was very close. I think that it was what many had predicted, roughly 50-50, and it could have gone both ways. I think that what in the end decided are probably some tactical mistakes or good moves by tactical mistakes by Mr. Drahoš and good moves by Mr. Zeman. But if you look at the underlying causes, I think that they remain basically the same, and that is that Czech society is split roughly in the middle. And right now, unlike in 2013, when the gap was wider and it was more in favor of the Zeman's camp, now it's really close. And the two camps we are talking about are basically, on the one hand, what I would call the post-communist camp, older people, some of them still nostalgic for the past, or most of them scared of the new challenges that are faced or posed by globalization, immigration, and all of that. And Mr. Zeman is their favorite because he promises to protect them. And then you have the other part, which is now also about 50% of Czech society, and that is more modern, for a lack of better expression, people who are more open to the outside world, who are more pro-European and so on. So we are split in the middle. Mr. Zeman won by a very thin margin. And
a few hundred thousand votes, basically.
But I would, at the same time, I would say that if we look at these underlying causes, definitely the demographic trends are not going in the favor of the Zeman camp.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Mr. Zeman had the benefit of being the incumbent. Some of his critics would say that he had a five-year-long campaign because he certainly was very active in visiting the different regions of the Czech Republic, with the exception of the capital, Prague. So in that sense, I guess it was always going to be difficult to beat the incumbent.
Yes, and I am actually a bit surprised that he was not able to capitalize on the fact that he has been the president for 5 years, a bit more, because in any election, the incumbent, unless he does terrible things, really has a bonus to start with. And Mr. Zeman basically got the same number of votes he got in 2013. I think that's a few thousand more, but basically the same. So that's not, in terms of how people view his presidency, it's not really a huge success. He won. That is important to him. But certainly he really was not able, or has not been able, to do what he promised in 2013, and that was to unify Czech society. Obviously, he won because he polarized Czech society, and the half that actually delivered for him was slightly larger than the other half.
Mm-hmm. Certainly there were issues which came to the fore either because of journalists or because the Drahoš camp was able to push them to a greater or lesser degree. They're well known to most Czechs. There's the behavior or the scandal surrounding some of his former aides. There are incidents in which the president used vulgar language. There is, perhaps more importantly, there are questions about his campaign financing. There are questions about his pro-Russia stance. We see that those issues didn't stick, or they didn't stick as much. Why didn't they don't matter to the Zeman voter?
I think that they don't matter to the Zeman voter as much as they should. Obviously, it is some of these things are seen by his voters as attacks generated by the media. Some of his expressions, vulgar expressions, or some of his actions are sort of downplayed by his voters. He's like one of us, you know. He's the kind of man that we can sit with in a Czech pub, and he talks our language, and that is certainly, I think, the attitude of many of his voters. So these things which matter to the Prague Café, as he calls this part of society, his opponents, really do not seem to matter so much to his supporters, and he knows that. So from that point of view, we have to give it to him that he is a good political strategist, because he played this game for 5 years. He basically divided Czech society in half and put all of his bets on on the possibility that part of society that he relies on will support him and will deliver for him, and it has happened.
Some people these days put almost more stock in betting agencies' prognosis than they do in regular opinion polls. About a week or so ago, the odds were actually in Mr. Drahoš's favor. He seemed to be in a better position to win even after the first round, because a lot of people saw that the other failed candidates, whether it was Mr. Fischer or Horáček or Hilscher, they threw their sort of votes into his camp, but of course couldn't persuade all of their voters to go that way. What changed? Was it the TV debates? Did they play a decisive role?
I think that the TV debates might have played a role, and perhaps more than those that Mr. Drahoš participated in. In one of which he wasn't too good, the Prima debate, and the second in which he was, I think, quite good. I think that those two debates played a lesser role than the two debates he didn't participate in, mm-hmm. especially the one on TV Nova. It may be, with time, it may be seen as one of his major mistakes, because he basically, although we can understand why he refused to go to four debates, Mr. Zeman kept changing his strategy. At first he said he doesn't want to debate, then he said two debates, then he said four debates. And so Mr. Drahoš simply put his foot down. But at the same time, I think that a debate on TV Nova, which was watched by almost 2 million people, and it was only Mr. Zeman, was a huge bonus for Mr. Zeman. And that may be actually those 150,000 votes that in the end went to Mr. Zeman and decided the elections.
It sometimes strikes me that Mr. Zeman, with his political experience, obviously, he's very savvy, as well as his team. It kind of reminded me of those stories about the chess player Bobby Fischer using all kinds of tactics. For example, showing up late in a major match to throw off his Soviet opponent or Russian opponent. Yeah. Did something like that happen here? Because at first, Mr. Zeman said there would be two debates. Then he said there would be four. He kept changing the ground or moving the goalposts.
Well, not only that, Mr. Zeman used all that was available to him, you know, things such as his office, for example, because just the way he planned the naming of the new government, the timing was such, and I think it was pre-discussed with Mr. Babiš, that the first vote of confidence, or the first government of Mr. Babiš would take place just before the first round of the presidential election, and Mr. Zeman was able to go to the parliament and deliver a major speech there. It was quite clearly much more an electoral speech than anything that had to do with the government, because mm-hmm. everyone knew that the government would not pass. He traveled for 5 years to small towns and villages in all regions. He says that this is a part of his job because he had to meet with the ordinary people. But we will see very soon how much this was just a continuing electoral campaign, because we will see whether Mr. Zeman will continue doing it now in the second term when he doesn't need those people anymore.
And one of the things he said in the run-up was that he would be less abrasive as a president in his second term. If we compare it to someone like Václav Klaus, in his second term, he sort of seemed to move more towards the fringe, groups that seemed less tolerant, for example. We've seen some of those groups become mainstream in Czech politics now, more than before. Do you think that there's a danger that Mr. Zeman will kind of become unchained in his second term? After all, he has nothing left to lose.
Yes, he may become unchained, but the question is whether that will not also harm some of his supporters, because quite frankly, Mr. Babiš, for example, has no leverages now to use against Mr. Zeman. He has been elected. He's going to be there for 5 years or until he dies, and he knows that. So he doesn't really feel in any way, I think, committed to the alliance of Mr. Babiš, and we know that before the second round he said that if he lost he would name Mr. Babiš the prime minister no matter what, just to leave that legacy, an easy legacy to Mr. Drahoš. But if he wins, he would still demand 101 signatures as proof of majority, and he will try to prolong the negotiations and so on. So he's basically telling us, I am the boss, I will run the game, and Mr. Babiš better watch out.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, the continuity is obviously there with his first presidency, where he wanted to expand his presidential powers from the very beginning to have a daily impact on politics, as he always promised. I don't want Mr. Drahoš to be completely forgotten in this, because obviously he conceded the race at around 4 p.m. With considerable grace. He spoke about a kind of energy moving forward. Do you think that there's a future for him in politics, or some of the other candidates that we saw that presented something of a challenge to the winner in the end?
I'm not so sure about Mr. Drahoš being a leader of some political movement. He's not the type. He's more sort of presidential material. But some of the other candidates, certainly Mr. Fischer, who is very popular among Catholic voters, could go into party politics, perhaps as a politician of the People's Party, the Christian Democrats, or could even launch his own movement. Certainly, Mr. Hilscher, who is a very dynamic young and surprising politician, because he managed to come out of nowhere and get 8%, so he has a potential to talk to young people, and actually I think that a lot of young people voted for him. And Mr. Horáček as well. Mr. Horáček also is a dynamic person who actually was very gracious after he lost in the first round. So all of them have, there's a promise for them. I'm not so sure about Mr. Drahoš. I think Mr. Drahoš could try again to run for the president, but I just can't imagine him, especially because of his age and profile, as the leader of some political movement.
And just a note on Mr. Horáček, he made a statement today where he also said that, you know, it was important to concede the loss, but he mentioned that he was just glad that we had free elections, because most of his life was spent under the former regime, just to note. And one final question, obviously, because we know what kind of message this sends at home, but what kind of message is being sent abroad here? Because this election was seen largely as a decision between the West and the East. Is that the case, and is that how it's going to be perceived now that we've moved more to the East?
You know, I think that this is the main blemish here, because quite frankly, in the West, this election was given much more weight or credence than it actually deserved, because I don't think that even with Mr. Zeman's victory there will be any major shift towards the East, China. Mr. Zeman was actually, just before the second round, he was trying to modify some of his soften some of his stances on Russia and China, saying I'm a pro-Western politician and so on. But in the West, in the meantime, whether he likes it or not, or whether we like it or not, he has become a symbol of pro-Russian, pro-Chinese policies, a politician with extremely strong anti-immigration views. And despite the fact that some of that might have been just his rhetoric or electoral strategy, that will stick. And so in the West, I'm afraid that his victory will be interpreted as a sign that the Czech Republic may be moving to the same camp with Hungary and Poland, and his alliance with Mr. Babiš may actually take the Republic on that the Czech Republic on that path, and that is one really bad piece of news coming from this election, the perception, and that perception is not very good for the Czech Republic.
The perception matters, perhaps, and we'll have to wait and see for this. Maybe the kind of balancing of the legacy that he leaves behind will
creep in or begin to play a role. Perhaps he'll try to kind of balance out those optics moving forward, but we really can't know at this moment.
Yes, I think that he may actually become more, you know, you have mentioned that there is that possibility that he would become unhinged like Mr. Klaus, but it may be just the opposite. He has nothing to lose now, and he may actually want to leave a more statesman-like legacy and make good on his words that he's pro-European, a European federalist even. So we will see. It's very difficult to say right now whether he will continue playing this this role of a political extremist who, when he leaves the office, will be seen, or many Western countries will see it with relief.
Mr. Pei, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we move on to our profile of Miloš Zeman, the first Czech head of state to be returned to office in a nationwide poll on this day, January the 27th. This was a profile which you may have listened to or may have heard after the first round took place, and it was put together by Chris Johnstone.
Current president Miloš Zeman could be described as the comeback kid of Czech politics. Of course, Zeman, as the second oldest candidate of the nine contenders standing this time round at 73, might well disagree with that description. But after he withdrew from top Czech politics for 7 years in 2003, Zeman came back with a bang. He formed his own political party, very much his personal vehicle, which just failed to get into parliament. And in the first direct elections to head of state in 2013, Zeman, the so-called Vysočina pensioner after his country home retreat, got to where he believed he belonged, Prague Castle. But Zeman was not happy with the presidential job as he found it and believed that the task and job description should be reformulated on the strength of the over 2.7 million votes and near 55% support he received from citizens in the second round of voting last time round. Zeman has frequently spoken of his admiration for former President Charles de Gaulle, a French statesman who remodelled the constitution to his liking and, with a majority parliamentary party behind him, was undoubtedly the main mover and shaker in the land of 246 different kinds of cheese. Not being the leader of a government party, Zeman simply does not have that sort of power. But over the last 5 years, Zeman has sought to stretch his constitutional powers to the limit, and some might say, well, beyond the limits. When you picture Zeman and the constitution, you can almost picture the Incredible Hulk bursting out of his clothes. Zeman has made no secret that he always envisaged himself as an active president, and that did not, in his vocabulary, mean filling the ceremonial functions and cutting ribbons. He meant to be in the political thick of it, and to the politicians often elbowed aside, Zeman simply pointed to his direct mandate from the Czech people and asked how many votes they had received. The Czech president's powers are clearest when a new government has to be formed, and faced with this scenario 3 times, Zeman has made the most of it. He first shoehorned in a caretaker government of his former industry minister, Jiří Rusnok, when the centre-right Civic Democrats claimed they had sufficient support in parliament to form a government to replace that of their former leader, Petr Nečas. After the 2013 election, Zeman kept Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka waiting 3 months before appointing him prime minister. Contrast that with the relatively rapid and smooth nomination of current Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, although his party on its own falls well short of a parliamentary majority. Zeman also chose to interpret the constitution his way. When last year Prime Minister Sobotka threatened the resignation of the government, Sobotka believed that his resignation meant the whole government fell. Zeman begged to differ, with the resulting meeting between President and Prime Minister sparking a now famous scene where Zeman pointed his walking stick at Sobotka and a microphone, urging him to make the announcement. Most constitutional experts said they believed Sobotka was in the right. Zeman had some accounts to settle with Sobotka and other Social Democrats leaders from his failed attempt to become president in 2003. Then the electorate was just Senate and lower house lawmakers, and the Social Democrats should have been able to push through their candidate if key supporters hadn't strayed. Zeman has the reputation of having a long memory and doesn't like to leave unsettled accounts. In the latest election campaign, Zeman has refused to rub shoulders with the other candidates or appear in television and other debates with them. He argues that his previous five-year record speaks adequately for itself. In one recent interview, he maintained that, like in any other profession, you needed to be a politician to be president. Zeman said former Civic Democrat Prime Minister and rival candidate Mirek Topolánek had the experience but had not done a good job in the past, and he gave another candidate, Pavel Fischer, half marks. Zeman added that he would describe himself as president, former Prime Minister, leader of the Social Democrats, and otherwise as a former prognostic, a member of an economic forecasting institution. One of his greatest achievements was to take the Social Democrats from a small marginalised party into an election winner, capable of attracting a third of Czech popular support. As Prime Minister, Zeman headed one of the few Czech governments that actually saw out its full term by the middle of 2002, and he pushed through a series of key privatisations. Zeman says that with old age, he's a lot calmer, quieter, and not so full of himself. Otherwise, he perhaps half-joked that he might be described as an arrogant boor. The president's critics might point to some of his recent outbursts and argue the latter description still holds good. Zeman's presidential turns of phrase include using the shockingly crude language in connection with the Russian group Pussy Riot, commenting to Russian President Vladimir Putin that journalists should be shot, and recommending a toast with the same fate for teetotalers and non-smokers. In foreign affairs, one of the president's areas of competence, he has enthusiastic push for the reset of Prague's relations with China by ignoring human rights and other problematic issues. Zeman also controversially commented that Russia's annexation of Crimea is now a fait accompli and that sanctions against Moscow simply haven't worked. More generally, he justified his fairly close relations with leaders with dubious democratic credentials, arguing that as a president, he can make a difference in meetings at such a level and with such people. He has been credited with foresight in being the sole European leader to back Donald Trump in the US election campaign when most others kept quiet or had written off the Republican candidate. Snubbed by former President Obama, Zeman had little to lose. And in spite of his backing, Zeman failed to see it translate into a visit to the White House, although he said he'd been invited. Controversy also surrounds many of Zeman's Prague Castle team and the wide circle of outside advisers, often with business interests. At the end of 5 years and frequent promises, his head of office, Vratislav Minár, still does not have the security clearance many believe is needed to do the job. His spokesman, Jiří Ovčáček, has become infamous for his doublespeak and attacks on Zeman's critics, so much so that a play dedicated to the spokesman was a local hit success. And the president's former head of protocol was forced to resign after reports of drug use and half-naked encounters with men. But Miloš Zeman's record and his team is probably not his weakest point. While still put in the polls as a front-runner and the man to beat, Zeman's physical health is the big question mark. In spite of his doctor's protest, there are no worries. He looked drawn and exhausted during a May trip to China and other official visits to Vietnam and Kazakhstan. His aides blamed the exhausting programmes and his ongoing problem with diabetes. Zeman's infamous stumbling and glassy-eyed appearance at a viewing of the Czech crown jewels in May 23, blamed on an infection, still haunts him. With that in mind, he could just be one false step away from the presidency.
Chris Johnstone there with that profile of President Miloš Zeman, who was re-elected on this day, January the 27th. That profile was first broadcast just after Mr. Zeman made it through the first round this year. That brings us just about to the end of today's election coverage. We hope you've enjoyed it. And don't forget, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard, please write to english@radio.cz or leave your comments or questions on the social networks, either on Facebook or Twitter. I'm Jan Wellinger. Thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.